I started to have the impulse to have it do things that there's no way it could do. So like, here's an example. So I'm like, I come upstairs, Erica's taking the kids out, and like three iPads and the Google TV are playing something.
And you just want to be like, Alexa, shut all this stuff off.
Yeah, I had that thought. I started to form the words, Alexa, shut off the iPad. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog, episode 18 for Friday, August 7th, 2015. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Schaber.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. It's Gadget Week. And this time around, we are going to devote the entire episode to Amazon Echo. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. I'm going to warn you right now that I am so excited about this gadget that you are definitely going to have to like interrupt me.
I want one so badly already. Yeah. And I can't justify it for a few weeks because college tuition is expensive.
Yes.
And
Amazon, if you're listening, you should really send us a free one.
You really should send us a review.
Yeah, review.
Review model.
Yeah, I agree. But before we do that, we've got a couple of quick housekeeping updates. Stickers.
Yes. I didn't email stickers. I mailed out a few more, either Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember which. Mm-hmm. And there are a few left if people still want them.
Excellent.
Go to our website and there's a link to the Google Doc to fill out, request them.
Excellent. Excellent. Looking forward to getting mine. Haven't gotten them yet.
Really? That's surprising.
Yeah. No, I haven't. Maybe today. We didn't get the mail yet today. Got a few quick shout-outs this week. We'd like to thank Keith Monaghan, Andy Hoffman, Dave Rupert, Levin Hyde, Andrew FPS, Coleman McFarland, and Zach Gilbert for all the tweet love and a couple of really great show ideas. So we're looking forward to getting to those soon. In other housekeeping news, the show is available on, of course, iTunes, as everyone probably knows, but it's also available on Stitcher, which is a recent addition. So if you're a Stitcher fan, you can find us there. But also, as of this morning, we are available on a service called TuneIn, which I'm embarrassed to report I've never heard of before, but appears to be quite popular.
I'd heard of it in passing, but I'd never seen it.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's definitely more radio-like for people who are old enough to remember what radio was like. But it does have a podcast. Sort of all the podcasts are kind of like lumped together in one gigantic category. And the reason why we submitted the show to that is because it, along with iHeartRadio, are the two podcast channels that Amazon Echo crawls. So, yeah. So to sort of foreshadow the feature, if you want your podcast to be available on Amazon Echo, it needs to either be listed in TuneIn or iHeartRadio right now.
Good to know.
Mm. Did somebody mention Amazon Echo?
Echo?
Echo. Echo.
Echo.
So for folks
who... I'm going to do that every time you say Amazon Echo.
That's awesome. So for folks who have no clue what gadget this is, Amazon announced this, they list it under home automation. So let's just go with that. It's sort of a home automation device that is roughly the size of a can of Pringles. So for
okay. I was thinking it was more paper towel roll sized, which would bring it closer, I guess, to a Mac Pro. It's not Mac Pro size.
Mm-mm. Okay. It's a little thicker than a can of Pringles, and it's about the same height. So for folks outside of the U.S.
3 inches in diameter, 3.5.
Yeah, it's not like it's definitely not like a Quaker Oats.
Yeah.
Type of thing. It takes up roughly the space of like a bottle of wine.
Okay.
So what is it? So it's this, first of all, it's beautifully constructed. Gorgeous. Black, like anodized aluminum. I mean, it might be plastic, I don't know, but it looks like it's aluminum.
Looks very futuristic.
I've never had a device that made me feel like I was living in the future more than this thing. It looks futuristic. It's got a sort of series of like a, it's the bottom half of it's kind of like a speaker grill, but it looks really cool. Like that carbon fiber design that was really popular on iOS when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, actual holes. And it has a, you know, a basic plug. It plugs into the wall, slides out of the bottom. It's just beautifully designed. And at the top of it is has about an inch of the top is rotatable around the axis.
Oh.
And around the top rim of that, where the plastic cover would be on the Pringles, there's an LED light that goes all the way around, a multicolor LED. It seems to have like full range of brightness and hue.
And, oh, really? Because I've only ever seen it blue.
You know what? Am I imagining the colors part? No, it's definitely mostly blue, but I'm pretty sure I've seen other colors come out of it. But you're right. It's mostly blue.
Yeah. Well, everything's more futuristic with a glowy blue ring.
Yes. But no, it gets better. So on top, there are two buttons, and then the ring itself is the volume control. So you can turn the whole top of the thing like you're unscrewing a jar to turn the volume down.
Interesting.
Yep.
Did you get the remote control as well?
Not yet. The great point. So it also is available a remote control that allows you to talk to it from another room. Mm-hmm. And I'm already so in love with this thing that I am definitely getting, well, I'm thinking about getting more than one because I want it in my office.
Right. That was going to be my next question. So would you get the remote control or would you just want to buy a second one?
I don't know. So because the thing that I haven't mentioned yet is that it is also a really loud, powerful, high fidelity speaker. So it's, you know, the interface for the thing is voice. It's just pure conversational computing. You talk to it. It talks to you. And you ask it to do things, a lot of things, you know, it skews definitely toward things like playing audiobooks or playing podcasts or playing music or
set an alarm or set a timer.
Yep. Set an alarm, set a timer, all that stuff. It does way more than that, but it skews to a lot of things that involve playing audio. And the audio quality is really good. I'm not a super picky audiophile, but I am a musician. So, you know, I do care enough to notice if it's bad or good, and it's good.
That's what I've heard. I've heard it's not amazing audio, but I've also heard that it's very good for a Bluetooth speaker.
It is really good. All right, let's see. So what's the experience? You take the thing, you put it on your counter, you plug it in. It tells you to put it in a, you know, we put it in the kitchen. It seems like a good place to put it. It's a nice common area. It says to, you can pretty much put it anywhere, but you want to keep it like 8 inches from a wall. So we've got it like sort of mixed in with our other gadgets and near like the flour container and stuff.
Yeah. Like our house, the kitchen, dining room, living room, it's an open floor plan. So I would think it would work very well in something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great for that type of environment where you want to put it where people are congregating most often, mm-hmm. which is kind of, it's a little bit surprising, but it is actually the case. All right. So you plug it in, it immediately comes on, it immediately starts talking to you. And let me tell you, it was not obvious immediately how to adjust the volume, and it was wicked loud. You know, it was at night, Maggie was asleep, and we're like, whoa, shut up. We're like diving for it, trying to figure out how to set the volume. So, okay, so you plug it in. The setup was a breeze. You download the app on your phone. It's the typical, what's the Wemo? It's like the Wemo setup, where the Echo broadcasts itself as an access point. A Wi-Fi access point, you connect to the access point on your phone, you configure a couple of things, you tell it which Wi-Fi to use, you enter the password for the Wi-Fi. So now it's connected to your Wi-Fi. It's no longer connected to your phone.
Okay. So it doesn't, so other than setup, it doesn't stay tethered to your phone.
Correct.
That's good.
Yes. It's great. It's totally independent. It's kind of like Chromecast in that sense, where Chromecast, you can configure it and you can send stuff to it from your phone, but it's a handoff. It doesn't continue to stream through your phone. It goes straight to the internet.
Right.
So very simple to set up if you're familiar with that sort of thing. And they have apps for the Echo app is available for iOS, Android, and there's a web interface for it on the desktop. And there may be other phones as well, but I don't have a Windows phone charged up right now, so I'm not sure.
It's available for the Fire phone.
I'm sure that's true. Yeah, absolutely. Interestingly, it doesn't integrate with Fire TV yet, but that's another story.
I bet it will.
I would think so. Yeah. Okay. So once this thing's plugged in, it wants you to talk to it and you ask it to do things for you. And mm-hmm. let me tell you, within minutes, I felt like there was another person in the room. The sound quality is amazing. The voice that they use, like this sort of female, subtly accented voice, it's really, really soothing and polite. Not robotic at all, as far as these sorts of things go. Mm-hmm. And like right away, you know it's been really well done because Erica immediately got hooked on it. She was immediately like with the haiku. The haiku is a total, you know, barcode scanner gadget that you leave in your kitchen to scan empty containers so that they automatically get added to your shopping list. And that's pretty much, she doesn't have a lot of patience for fiddly new tech, but she attached to this thing immediately.
And Echo was the same way.
Yes, Echo was the same way. She was like, oh, this is interesting. So the first thing we did was, you know, you have to learn what you can say to it. It's not like total AI, that's for sure. But you can say things like, what's on my calendar today? When do the Red Sox play next? What's the weather today? Or what's the forecast for the week? I've got it hooked up to my Hue lights. I can say turn off the off, you have to say it like this, turn office lights off or turn office lights on. Mm-hmm. Or you can set the brightness. You can't change colors and stuff like that yet, but presumably that'll happen.
Now, you said you can ask it what's on your calendar. Mm-hmm. Can you say what's on Erica's calendar or what's on John's calendar? Is it tied to a single person or?
Great question. And in fact, you can say, you can go like this. The wake up word is Alexa. You just say, Alexa, mm-hmm. which account is this? And it'll say, this is Jonathan's account. And you can say, Alexa, switch to Erica's account if she cared about what was on her calendar. So probably the thing you would do is have a house calendar that you had in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I have not tried to attach multiple calendars to. I don't think you can attach multiple calendars to it under the same account. I think right now it just supports one calendar. But that would be another way to do it. If two people could sort of do the OAuth dance to their Google Calendar and have it just sort of collate all the events. Say like, Jonathan has this at 9, Erica has this at 12, or whatever. Right. And while we're talking about it, that's how it works. So if you go into one of the apps on any device, really, you do that. You can sort of authenticate using OAuth in every case that I've seen so far against various services that you use. So we connected ours to my calendar. It only works with Google Calendar right now. But we connected it to my calendar, and we connected it to our Pandora account, and we connected it to my Audible account, it's automatically connected to our Amazon account, of course. Which,
right. These are all things I use.
Let me tell you, I was just totally sold based on Audible alone. If the only thing this did was play audiobooks, I'd buy it because it's so great. You're like in the kitchen, you're doing dishes, and you're like, oh, you know what? And you just say, Alexa, how do you say it? Hold on, let me give you the exact quote. You say, Alexa, If you've already been reading a book, mm-hmm. on anything, you just say, Alexa, resume my book. And whatever, if you've been listening to it on your phone, it doesn't matter because Audible knows what you've been listening to. It'll just start playing it, which is so great.
That is nice.
Oh, man, it's so great. But you can also have it switch books. You can say, Alexa, play the book, The Martian.
Yeah.
You can say, Alexa, pause. Alexa, resume my book. Alexa, go forward, back, all stuff like that. So and we've talked about conversational computing on the show before. We've talked about Siri, and we've talked about just voice typing, voice dictation, Google Now, and the way that stuff works on Android Wear. But there is something totally different about the experience of having it always on, always listening, and in your environment, not in your pocket.
Right. It's just there. It's not a device you have to pull out and push a button to make it work.
Yep.
It's not a device you have to remember to bring with you or.
Yeah. It feels exactly like you're talking to someone. You just like say their name to get their attention and then you issue a command. And it's funny because.
Yeah. It's the Star Trek computer.
It totally is. And I've already, all sorts of crazy things have sort of crossed my mind or like occurred to me now that I've been doing it. The first one is that I started to have the impulse to have it do things that there's no way it could do. So like, here's an example. So I'm like, I come upstairs, Erica's taking the kids out, and like three iPads and the Google TV are playing something. So like the iPads are playing PBS or YouTube, and it's just like, you know, eating up bandwidth, and the TV's playing Pandora or whatever.
You just want to be like, Alexa, shut all this stuff off.
Yeah, I had that thought. I started to form the words, Alexa, shut off the iPad.
Wait a minute. It was weird. Yeah, I mean, I know I'm just going to, like, you get one of these things and you're going to walk upstairs one day and be like, Alexa, where is everyone?
Totally. It was the most bizarre impulse. It's kind of like when you, I think explained before, probably on the previous show, but when I've had the impulse to Google my basement when I'm looking for something, like, I'll just search. I can't search for it. I'm in my basement, you know?
Right. Or like I'll see something on my desk that I want to pick up, and my impulse is to click on it. Wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like knocking down the house of cards when you put on the Oculus Rift.
Right. Yeah. It feels so much like talking to a person that you forget that it's not. You don't forget that it's not, but it feels so much like talking to someone that you start to just, you know, every time you want something to happen, you just feel like you could say it to Alexa. And, you know, of course.
Because Alexa makes things happen.
Alexa makes things happen. Does whatever you want, as my nephew says about the Xbox that you can talk to. So, okay, so that's audiobooks. The same sort of thing works with Pandora. You can say, Alexa, play the Jimi Hendrix station on Pandora. And, you know, I just kind of corrected myself as I was saying that. And if I had said it wrong, it would still do something. It would probably play Jimi Hendrix from either Amazon Prime or pull it from somewhere else, or it might not play my Jimi Hendrix station. It'd just play a Jimi Hendrix song.
Yeah.
So you don't have to like memorize everything and exactly how to say it. It's pretty good at, it's much better than Siri at figuring out what you mean. Mm. But there are certain situations that are really ambiguous, because I might want actually Pandora instead of Amazon Music, and I might have Jimi Hendrix songs in both places. So it kind of has to make the call.
Yeah.
So there's no, it doesn't give you a disambiguation prompt like, oh, do you want that from Amazon Prime or do you want that from Pandora? Which would actually be kind of cool. If you play Pandora in your house, or if you listen to music of any kind in your house, this is just amazing. For podcasts, it's amazing. It's just like, Alexa, play Wait, Wait. I said that last night. Boom. Wait, Wait. We're playing the latest episode of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Nice.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Peter Sagal.
Can you just ask it random questions like you would with Siri or something? Like if it's in my kitchen, can I just go, Alexa, how many tablespoons are in one cup?
Yeah, that's one of the examples, in fact. You can say, Wikipedia Abraham Lincoln. You can say, you can totally just ask a question, how tall is Barack Obama, whatever, and it says it back to you. And but you can do other cool things, like speaking of the kitchen example, you can say, add gelato to my shopping list. And I was curious of how reliable it was. So you'd say, Amazon, add gelato to my shopping list. And it says, okay, gelato added to your shopping list. So I've got the app open to the shopping list, which is empty. And I was like, Alexa, add dog bones to the shopping list. Like, boom, less than a second, like microseconds, it showed up on the phone.
Wow.
So it's when you watch the video of it. So if people listening have seen the video of it, it looks contrived because it's a short video, of course. And it's like example after example after example. But that's not the way you do it in the real world. It's like, you know, you only talk to it like, you know, it comes in bursts depending on what you're doing. So especially if your hands are busy, it's much more useful than you think it's going to be.
Yeah. See, I don't buy a lot of household products from Amazon. But if I could just tell it that I needed to get something and it would add it to my shopping list, I could see myself doing that a lot more.
I mean, I figured that we would stop using Haiku and just use this. But Erica still likes the scanning feature, the barcode scanning feature. So who knows what will happen. Mm-hmm. But it is insane. So check this out. As we've discussed before, there's some inherent problems with conversational computing. Background noise is a big one. So this is insane. Alexa has, you know, they advertise as like far field voice recognition. Mm-hmm. It's got a bunch of different microphones, and they advertise this thing called beamforming technology, which sounds so like so goofy.
Yeah.
It's like retina listening, you know? So here's the thing. If you, when you talk to it, check this out. So it's got the LED along the top.
Okay.
When you talk to it, it looks at you.
Like the LED moves to...
The LED moves to point where you are. And once it's locked on you, it doesn't listen as much to other noise. So when we first got it, Cooper was in the room and he just could not control himself from talking to it. So, for example, as like, you know, it was night and it was about time for him to go to bed.
Order Legos.
Right. It was about time for him to go to bed. And we do this thing. We frequently do the, you know, 10 minutes and mm-hmm. you know, then we're going upstairs. So I go, Alexa, set a timer for 10 minutes. And it, bloop, timer set for 10 minutes beginning now. And then Cooper goes, Alexa, set a timer for 16 minutes. It totally did it. And I was like, okay, that's going to be a problem. But then.
Yeah, I can see Alexa set a timer for 1 minute, set a timer for 2 minutes, set a timer for 3 minutes.
So the funny thing is, first of all, I get that's sort of, I mean, I can't call it a flaw in the system, but we had to kind of set some ground rules. Like, Cooper, do not talk while I'm talking to Alexa. That's right, like this rule now.
Right. And you have a rule now that your kid can't add stuff to the shopping list.
Right. So, or he can, you know?
Yeah.
It's wild. So the other thing that happens is that it was so novel at first that he would like mimic us as we were doing it. So we were trying to do something. And before we were even done, he'd be talking too. Right. And you can see the eye like getting confused. So it's like going back and forth, and then it'll say something like, it'll either do the wrong thing or it'll resume whatever it was doing, even if you told it to stop because it didn't register, yeah. Or it'll say, sorry, I didn't get that. And it'll just go back to playing Jimi Hendrix or whatever.
Like it was spazzing out on you because it was just, it was getting confused.
Yep. But you can see it's getting confused. It's a major, that is a huge difference. Like the fact that you can see it's getting confused, it makes it feel like it's your fault. Mm-hmm. instead of blaming the thing.
Failing to recognize you.
Right. It's wild. So what else? You can connect it to IFTTT or IFT, which means that anything that you can do on IFT.com, you can, not anything, I suppose, but you can trigger a bunch of things to happen with Echo over a voice channel with IFT.
Now, can you tell it to do things through IFT or can... you set it up, like for instance, if I set up an IFT that says I got an email from you, would it tell me like you have an email from Jonathan?
Pretty much everything is really a server side type of thing. So the triggers that are available are ask what's on your to-do list. So the trigger will fire whenever you ask Alexa what's on your to-do list, and it could like send you an email of it. So if you said Alexa, what's on my to-do list, or Alexa, what's on my shopping list, it would get emailed to you, and then you could leave the house and you would know that you had an email of what your shopping list was. You can have triggers fire whenever you add something to your to-do list, whenever you complete something on your to-do list, whenever you edit the to-do list, delete, you know, so it's very oriented around adding and deleting things from shopping lists and to-do lists.
So it can congratulate me when I complete my to-do list.
Well, it'll send the Alexa, really the server side, will send an event to IFT, which then you could pump into some other channel.
Oh, okay.
There's no new song played and tweet it or something like that. You can have it send events to IFT if your alarm goes off or your timer goes off. And right now there are no actions that it receives. So.
Oh, okay. That was my question.
Yeah. About, you know, if you got an email from me, could you have Alexa say, hey dude, if I got an email from you, say, hey dude, Kelly just emailed. Or Kelly's looking for you in Slack or something like that. Doesn't do that yet, but that would be pretty wild.
That would be.
At any rate, I can imagine hacking this so that you could trigger, you could sort of add to-dos, not because they were actual to-dos, but because you wanted to send an event to something. So you say add a to-do, log 300 calories of cereal, and that would trigger an SMS message to Kilo would enter that into my calorie tracker. So you could probably make that do a lot of things. So, I mean, the big My big surprise from pulling this out of the box and exploring it for less than a week is that I cannot believe how fully featured this thing is already. We haven't even talked about half the stuff it does. It is crazy how many integrations they have and how well it works. I mean, it's beautiful. The voice recognition is amazing. The user experience is amazing. It's been, knock on wood, totally bug-free for us so far. And it's just nuts. It's completely full-featured for V1. It's mind-blowing.
That's really cool.
Mm.
I'm going to have to... I almost ordered one this month.
Mm-hmm.
But that's... I wasn't convinced that it would do enough useful things other than, like, alarms and timers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I use alarms and timers all the time, but beyond that, I wasn't convinced it would do enough useful things to justify the $180 price tag.
I mean, it's a luxury, but, you know, we've got, for us, it's, for our lifestyle, it gets a lot of use because we're home all day pretty much,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, someone is, and Erica normally has Pandora running on the TV. We've got like an old Google TV. That actually sounded funny to say. We've got an old Google TV, you know, and
Google TV has been around long enough to be old now.
Right. And it's annoying to have to go through, you know, you find the remote, so you click around, get launch Pandora, you know, every single time it switches back to the TV, you got to switch it back to Roku, then switch it to the channel. It's like click, 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 click. It feels like it takes forever compared to saying, Alexa, play Jimi Hendrix. Alexa, play the White Stripes. It's like, boom, done. The volume and sound are better than the TV. It's rad. And, oh, by the way, if you really did want to connect your phone to it, you can say Bluetooth, connect. You can say Alexa, connect Bluetooth. And it'll, I haven't tried it yet, but it'll connect to your, you know, it'll ask you which thing you want to connect to. You tell it, and you can stream stuff from your phone and just use it as like dumb Bluetooth speakers.
Right.
So that would get you around the, what some people would consider a limitation. Like if you have a really big iTunes library, there's no way to connect it to this.
Right.
It has to be in your Amazon Music library if you want to play like individual tracks. But you can play Prime Music, which is free if you're a Prime member. You can play Pandora if you're a Pandora user. And like I said, iHeartRadio and TuneIn and Audible are just
It's funny how looking back now over the things Amazon has done over the last year, how it all kind of builds up to this.
Yeah, it suddenly makes sense, right? It's almost like they knew.
I know.
Yeah, like the all the Prime stuff starts to make more sense. Like all the audio content, the buying Audible. I mean, audiobooks made sense because you're like, oh, well, they're into like Amazon's books, Audible's books. So it makes sense. And like, but I cannot tell you how mind blowing it is to me, even though, you know, I'm a developer, you're a developer. We understand that this is totally doable, but it still blows my mind that they had the foresight to do Whisper Sync across.
Yeah.
So I can be listening to The Martian on Echo, open up my phone and start reading the book. Or not, it's not even a book. I read the ebook text, not listen, from right where I left off.
Yeah.
And then flip a few pages, read, and then be like, okay, now I'm going to go back to washing the dishes or whatever I'm doing in the kitchen that requires my hands to be free and just be like, Amazon, resume book, resume The Martian, and it just picks right up.
Picks right up where you left off reading.
Yeah. I mean, they developed that service with complete device independence. It's genius.
Yeah,
I mean,
they did.
It's so great. Anyway, that seems like, you know, the...
That would... See, this would be a teaching moment if we were still doing niche.
Right.
About APIs.
Right. APIs people. You know, and you can see a million, like, I wish I could say, Amazon, what's my checking account balance?
Right.
There's a million integrations that you could put into this that would be useful.
Do I have anything in Basecamp due today?
Yeah. Yeah. You can just say what's new to it, and it'll give you, like, what it thinks are kind of like the Google Now search results that you'd get. But I am telling you, this thing is, like, again, it's a luxury, but... You know, it is, in my opinion, well worth the money. I'm definitely going to get either another one or the remote.
Yeah, it sounds like for your particular uses, I think if I were in your shoes, I'd just get a second one.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure how they'll play on the same network, if they'll like be get confused or something. Like, so here's what's weird. Like, when it's when it, the thing is cranking, you have to yell at it, which makes it feel more like a person.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
It has to, so you can hear it over the, so it can hear you over the speaker.
Yeah. So if you're like, Alexa, you just say, you know, you're listening to Hendrix, whatever, everybody leaves, and like, Alexa, crank it. Alexa, turn it up. And it goes up, or Alexa, volume 10. Yeah. And it's like loud. And
then so you don't have to manually adjust the volume.
No. Mm-mm. And you just, and then you're like, you have to be like, Alexa, volume 2. It's so funny. At night, I whisper at it. It's like, because it's, I'm like, I don't want to wake anybody up. Everybody's right. Sleeping. Alexa, what time is it?
Does it whisper back?
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But this is V1. I would not be shocked if that happened.
Yeah, I was going to make a whisper sync joke there, but.
Nice. Anyway, this is, it's, like I said, I think I said at the beginning, you feel like you're in the future. This thing just works, and it's just going to keep getting better.
Yeah, I do plan on buying one. So, I mean, if you want to get it first and try it, and if it doesn't work, I'll just give you the money instead of giving it to Amazon.
Gotcha. That sounds cool. I'm going to put it right next to my Harry Potter wand on the desk. The Elder Wand.
Oh, you have the Elder Wand.
I sure do.
Yeah, I don't have any Harry Potter wands, but I have Sting.
Nice. All right, that's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to support Terrifying Robot Dog? Just think of two friends who would dig the show and send them to terrifyingrobotdog.com for links to iTunes, Facebook, and RSS feeds. If you don't have two friends, you can still help us out by leaving a nice review on iTunes. Thanks a lot.